More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Since 2012, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design has hosted a series of public events exploring the subjects the school is all about, things like creativity and design. The speakers are leaders in their fields, whether they're artists, architects, or designers.
And it's from that latter group that this year's guest emerges. Mark Dursk is managing director at Lunar Design in Chicago, where he specializes in both industrial design and brand management.
He's a blogger for Fast Company magazine, and he's responsible for numerous design patents, including, from the days of film, the disposable camera. Speaking from his office in Chicago, Dursk considered just how he defines design and how it affects us.
When people hear the word design, they very often equate it to a thing, an object, a chair, a certain kind of car or telephone. And the truth is, it is that, a noun, but is also very much a verb. Design is a process. It's a way of thinking that involves critical thinking and problem solving. And that's really the most exciting part of design, is the problem solving aspect to it. It allows people to leverage their creativity on behalf of making things better. And that's a very powerful elixir. Design is sort of something that finds you as opposed to the other way around.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, most students go to school, they would go to MIAD looking for an art career or sculptor or painter or photographer, and then very often they'll wander by the design studio and see that there's actually this thing that mixes art and technology. There's actually this idea of creativity in the service of innovation, things that get made or get consumed or get used or help society in some way. It becomes a very powerful draw. If you're disposed that way, design finds you. In fact, that's the name of my blog on Fast Company, Design Finds You, because more often than not, students are called to it, designers are called to it, and when they find it, you can't unring that bell. You're a designer from that point forward.
And so it sounds like what you're saying is that it requires a sort of a way of synthesizing a lot of different things in order to make life better.
Indeed. Indeed. I think that's the primary concern of design. It'll be a focus of my talk at MIAD. But really, without any kind of inauthentic expression, designers believe that by using design in the service of creativity, we actually have the power to change human behavior. And when we do that, we change human behavior in a way that's positive and affirming. We make things that are more sustainable. We make life better. We ease the friction that we all experience between what it is we want to do and the products and the services that are available to us to do that. You know, this is an idea that Steve Jobs had when he created Apple. This is an idea that was sort of brought to light in the 20s with the Bauhaus and the design movement there. This is an idea that's pervasive throughout design architecture, a lot of the made universe. And it's a very satisfying experience to be a designer because of that.
You mentioned the Bauhaus, and of course I immediately think form following function.
Mm-hmm.
How important is form and aesthetics when it comes to doing good through design?
Well, it's a great question, Bonnie. It's really how we manifest what it is we do. And we're fortunate, designers, in that regard, is that we leave a footprint. We leave an artifact. We leave, some cases, an experience that's memorable. But in all cases, there's something you can point to. And isn't it interesting how these things sort of stay with us forever? If you had that iconic red radio flyer wagon when you were a child.
I did.
Even now, you remember that, right?
Yep.
You wish for your children to have that experience. If you do design in the right way, in that way, you can move people. And you can I call it leaving a footprint. I'll give you a perfect example. When Lunar was first founded, we actually did a lot of Apple's early work. And one of the things we did was the first PowerBook 100. And in creating that laptop computer so long ago now, well, actually it wasn't that long ago, about 17 years, but we pushed the keyboard back and created two places for your wrists to rest. And if you remember, do you remember a trackball?
Oh, sure.
Remember that? Instead of now we have these great capacitive touch interfaces, but we put the trackball in the middle of your two wrists and push the keyboard back. Well, that was the design of the first PowerBook. It remains the design of every single laptop computer since. So in that sense, we left a footprint. We made a better way to use this product, better way to interact with the screen, better way to get the work done that you need done. And some of that can be, you know, if not forever, it can last a long time.
Also, things like that influence the next iterations, too. You know, you may hearken back to something. There may be a design idea from 100 years ago that's used in a new way, but also has that homage to somebody that came before.
It's interesting because technology, of course, is a leverage that allows everything to be reinvented that way. And some people love this idea that, you know, everything will have technology in it, and some people don't. We're a bit agnostic on that as designers. I tend to look at every problem as an opportunity to do better. So, for example, we just redesigned the ice cream scoop. Better job of a product that's been out there for 100 years, right? When you see this, I'll show it at the lecture, it's hard to argue with that. It's more beautiful, it's more ingenious, it has more charisma than any other ice cream scoops that was there. Not a thing about technology is involved in that, just the physical act of scooping ice cream. On the other side, every day somebody's coming to us with a new way to wear technology or leverage technology or make technology do something wonderful. Da Vinci surgical system is something that Lunar participated in developing. And this is a robot that allows a doctor in Switzerland to operate on you in Milwaukee through a series of connected robots and interfaces. So there you have two perfect examples, two projects, one of which is a reinvention, low-tech, one of which is as high-tech as it gets.
Go back to the low-tech for a minute. How well does it scoop ice cream?
Well, put it this way, there's a thing called Kickstarter, which is an idea, a crowdsourcing way to evaluate ideas. And we put it out on Kickstarter with a target of, let's say we'll make $5,000 doing this. We got $65,000 in a week and sold out everything we possibly could make, and we have orders in the back. It takes away the awkward leverage that you need to scoop ice cream by providing an ergonomic, what's known as ergonomic, which means easier for the hand angle. And the other thing that's really beautiful about it is it's a solid core of aluminum, so the heat that, as you scoop, the heat that comes out of your hand transfers to the scoop itself, making it easier to scoop, especially frozen ice cream. But finally, and the thing I think most proud of, is that it's an heirloom quality piece. It's built in a way that it'll last generations, and you'll hand it down for generations. So in that regard, it's actually sustainable. It won't be thrown away. It's not a superficial interface with a product. It's something that you're proud to own over time, and in that regard, doesn't wind up in landfill or, you know, as a casual product that you don't care about.
Something both useful and beautiful.
Useful and beautiful. And the filter we like to use, I mentioned it briefly, was can it express the way it works in a beautiful way, and that's maybe what we think about in terms of art. And then can we solve the problems for this product in a way that are not seen before, intuitive, ingenious? And finally, did we do the right job of asking the question, do we really need one of these in the first place? Can we do a better job? If we answer that question, we get to what we like to refer to as charisma, a product that people are drawn to. I always had that problem. Why didn't anybody solve that before? Waiting for somebody to answer this question. Or sometimes, this is great, you hear, I had that idea. I had that idea in the shower, you know, 10 years ago. Here you did it, Lunar, you made it for us.
That must feel good.
You know, it does. I have to say two things about that, Bonnie, is I teach at Northwestern, and in my class, I teach design to non-designers. But one of the things I like to point out is that the class is full of engineering and marketing people, and very often they're not rewarded for their creative mind. They're measured on goals that are set. And when you're rewarded for your creative mind, it's an empowering experience. It's a beautiful thing. It's something that's energizing and motivating, and you want to do it again. It becomes a bit of an elixir, a bit of a drug. And the more creative you can be, the more it's acknowledged, the more you want to do it. So it's a powerful emotion in that regard. I recall one time I traveled to Australia and had forgotten to bring a camera. And I had the good fortune to work on Kodak's first single-use camera and be on that patent. And so I got off the plane in this fantastic place, this environment that looked a lot like the U.S. but was completely different, walked to the gift store, and I saved myself by buying the product that I had designed, a single-use camera, so that I could actually have photographs. These days, of course, we all have iPhones, so that wouldn't be a problem, but it was a great experience to actually, you know, feel good to help yourself out in a situation.
I was going
to
say, be saved by your own product.
Saved by your own career, yes, indeed.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you teach at Northwestern. You're coming up here to talk at MIAD. What do you see in this crop of students? You know, you've been doing this for more than a couple of decades. Obviously, things and technology has changed a great deal in that time. Are you excited about the ideas that you're seeing coming out of students?
I think it's the best time ever to be a student in art or design. I think that the two components, the critical thinking of problem solving that all art students engage in, all design students engage in that, the idea of what it is you're trying to accomplish and a methodology to get there, whether on the art side it's sort of free form and Jackson Pollock, or whether on the design side it's more structured and you have a divergent, convergent way of thinking. Right now, this is what we need. In our environment, there are too many Me Too products. There's an economy that's stalled. There's a need for creative and critical thinking. The author Daniel Pink coined the phrase, the MFA is the new MBA. And I think there's a lot in that. You know, we can't do things in an ordinary way in a world that's looking for superlatives. And I think art students bring that to the world, a different way of looking at a problem, a unique way of thinking about the answer. And right now, there's currency in that. Everybody from societies who need that to solve really hard problems, like feeding big populations or getting the clean water, right down to the next iPhone or the next sort of product on a shelf. It just can't be Me Too. It's got to stand out. It's got to capture your emotion in a way that's meaningful. And it's art and design that bring that component.
Well, Mark, we are looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee to talk about it and to see the ice cream scoop. I'm hoping that you'll send me a photo that we can put on our website as well, so people who won't get to the talk can actually see what we've been talking about.
Oh, I certainly will. And I'm very much looking forward not just to the lecture, but to being in the school for the next day as well. I've had the great good fortune to visit five or six design schools in the last year and a half. And what I see coming out of programs right now is the best work ever. It's considered and professional in every regard. But what I love is that I see more individuality, more expression, more I-ness. There's a construct called T-shaped person, where we all are deep in some expertise, but across the top of us, we want to collaborate with everybody, have respect for all professions. In design and art, we get to celebrate more the I and the T-shaped person, right? And I think that's a great thing. Be really excellent at what you do. Be the best painter. Be the best sculptor. Be the designer who can really bring emotion to the equation and do something that nobody else can do. And the world will seek you out. It's an amazing thing that I see happening in design schools across the country. And I think, you know, I'm somewhat prejudiced in this regard, but to me, design is the best way to spend a life or a career, to leverage creativity in the service of human behavior, and doing that in a positive way is wonderfully satisfying.
Mark, thanks so much.
It's great to talk with you, Bonnie.
Mark Dursk is managing director at Lunar Design in Chicago. He's also on the faculty at the Kellogg School of Management and the McCormick School of Engineering at Northwestern University. He'll speak tomorrow evening at MIAD as part of its creativity series.
And by the way, Mark did make good on his promise and sent us a photograph of the reimagined ice cream scoop. You'll find it at wuwm.com/lake effect.
Before we go today, as it is Veterans Day, we want to pass along a sincere thank you to all the veterans in the audience for their service to our country, and sincere thanks to the one in the studio this morning. Thanks, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee.
Stay with us. Fresh air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock.